Okay, I'll take a deep breath here. All right, 3, 2, 1.
Tag Team Network, bitch!
I don't want to kill you. What would I do without you? Go back to ripping off mob dealers? No. No, you. You complete me.
You're garbage. You kills for money.
Don't talk like one of them. You're not. Even if you'd like to be. To them, you're just a freak. Like me. They need you right now. But when they don't, they'll cast you out. Like a leper. You see, their morals, their code. It's a bad joke. You've dropped at the first sign of trouble. They're only as good as the world allows them to be. I'll show you. When the chips are down, these civilized people, they'll eat each other. See, I'm not a monster. I'm just ahead of the curve.
And here we go.
This is real impossible.
Come again.
Not quite my tempo. It's all good. No worries. Here we go.
Welcome back, movie fans. This is Ben, and on the podcast, we have Jason. What's up, Jason?
Not much. What's up, Ben? Just another day in surreal paradise.
And we have Chris. What's going on, Chris?
Oh, not a whole lot. Life.
It's life?
Working too much and trying to do these podcasts when I can.
Yeah, are you still getting up stupid early every day?
Yes, 3:30, 4 o'clock every morning.
Yeah, damn. I don't know. That sounds fucking brutal. Now, you're usually still awake at 3 or 4 in the morning, aren't you, Jason?
I need to stop doing that because I do work. Like, I work from home, but I still have to. I'm off Tuesdays and Wednesdays, and this week I'm off on Thursday because I had to work on the 4th of July.
Oh shit.
So I mean, it works out in the end for me. But usually, you know, I work 9:30 to 8 p.m. I have a 10-hour shift 4 days a week. So I need to start sleeping more because, yeah, work staying up all night and then managing to get through a 10-hour shift where I'm sitting on my butt all day long doesn't really work out that well.
No, yeah. See, I used to try to do that. Well, not that extreme, not 3 or 4. I used to try to stay up to midnight. I used to play Call of Duty every single night, man, when I was like really into it, up all night with the friends and everything, just playing. And then but then I'd have to get up at like 5 in the morning, and that shit sucked.
Yeah, I was doing that last night with Madden because we're getting into football season, and I realized last year because they started the new mode, Face of the Franchise, last year, where you can take your player through college and then the first season in the NFL. And you can continue after the first season through their full career. It's going to be a lot more interesting on Madden 21 than it was last year. But I finally finished up my career last night, and my player made it into the Hall of Fame, so I'm pretty excited about that. But then I was sad that it was over.
Now, Chris, I know you got a PS4. What do you play on it?
Yeah. Do I have time to play on it? when I was getting a little bit of time to play on it, I played a little bit of the newest Call of Duty. Then I got stuck on this game called Wreckfest. It's a racing game, and pretty much it's more about, you get more experience points from wrecking people. It was originally like a computer game, I want to say, and then it got pretty popular, so they put it out on the console and on the Xbox Ones and the PS4s, and it can get you extremely aggressive.
Oh, wow.
Because the AI learns how you play, and they don't really care about winning a race. They care more about just destroying your car. But oh, you can do, like, demo derbies and lawnmower derbies and a bunch of other things. RV racing.
Is it kind of like Twisted Metal?
Similar, but different. It's you do demo derby stuff in it, but oh, okay. I mean, then you play road courses that, and there's like, I don't know, 16 other cars out there that are just out. You do a lot of figure eight racing too. It was a ton of fun, but I had to like quit playing it after a while because I was like, this is just making me mad.
Yeah, that kind of sounds like me on GTA. The only difference is, though, is like they're in a car and I'm on foot with a rocket launcher. And
I can only get a rocket launcher.
Yeah, I just blow shit up. Dude, I'm a menace on GTA. I don't play that game right, but I don't think anybody does.
Did you guys hear that they're making new material for when it goes to the PS5?
I have heard rumblings of that.
Yeah, I don't know. They haven't officially announced what it is. But for one thing, when the PS5 comes out, GTA Online is going to be free for everyone, which is kind of cool. And then for the base game, they're adding, I don't know if it's going to be a full expansion or, you know, a full, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't know how much extra, if it's going to be, or if it's going to be one extra heist, or I don't know what it is, but the actors have recorded new lines. And there's going to be extra material added, so it's going to be pretty cool.
That does sound pretty cool. I'm excited. I'm pretty much already decided that I'm going to get the PS5.
That game's carrying over from the PS3 to the PS4 and out of the PS5.
Yeah.
It's because it's making so much money with online.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I guarantee they're working on 6 already. But they're going to milk that as long as they can because it's a runaway freight train. There's no stopping it right now.
Right. Yeah.
Now, one of the games that Rockstar did that I got really big into with the original one was Red Dead Redemption. And I bought the second one and I didn't enjoy it as much because I thought there was way too much involved in it.
The second one is such a beautiful game. Like the main storyline.
Yeah, as far as stories for a video game, I love Red Dead Redemption 2. Like, I love the story. The online portion of it is where it got boring for me.
Yeah, I can't play the online. Like, I know what they were trying to do, and I guess it works for some, but I can't do the online. But the story mode, I now that I have a 4K TV, I kind of want to go back and replay it, to be honest.
There's a lot of people that they have not played Red Dead Redemption 2 since it launched. And they always say that, it's just boring. It's going around on a horse and everything. But they don't know about the fast travel. And the fast travel, you know, once you get it, I think you have to unlock it. It comes at a certain point in the story. It's like once you unlock it, then it's like you can go to anywhere in the map much faster. Similar to GTA when you get in a cab.
And the storyline is so, like, so deep. It's just one big character piece, and it ties everything up to the first Red Dead so well.
Right.
It's almost a perfect game.
Yeah, I do know what Chris is talking about, though, because it is pretty involved. Where like, because you got to go out, you got to hunt. There's a couple missions where you have to fish, you have to wrestle an alligator and stuff like that, and then you got to get food, you got to get money and everything and supplies for your camp and everything. I can see where it is pretty involved.
See, that's one of the things I liked about the original one. It was like you were on your own. You didn't have to worry about anybody but yourself. And the story of that one was fantastic.
Yeah, it was. Arthur Morgan, though, is such a badass character.
Yep.
Yeah. So was John Marston.
Yeah, John Marston was too.
And I found myself like upset at the fact that they killed off Marston in the very first one, and then you had to take over the game as a kid. You were kind of hoping for a happy ending to that.
Yeah, there really wasn't a happy ending. I guess spoiler alert for whoever hasn't played that game by now, but if they haven't, that's kind of on them. But anyways, and Red Dead Redemption 2 didn't have a real happy ending either.
Well, I mean, did anybody from that time period, especially cowboys, like, Renegades, like, did anybody from that time have a happy ending? Like, yeah. that's kind of how it went down, so.
That's kind of their style.
They were just kind of there to.
Yeah.
Wyatt Earp, I think, is, like, the only one that I actually have somewhat of a happy ending in real life.
Yeah.
His life was really bad early on, too, so.
Yeah. I don't know. I need to, I need to study the history on Outlaws. But okay, are we ready to go into the intro?
Absolutely, sure. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. All right. So, before we move on to our discussion on The Dark Knight, this is Real Impossible in review. We like movies, as we are sure you do too, and we love to talk about them. We also like to rate movies, which is what we will be doing here in just a few weeks when we have our big finale episode for Christopher Nolan's Dark Knight trilogy. If you like what you hear, subscribe. Review us on Apple Podcasts as well as like us on Facebook, Instagram, and yes, we even have a TikTok. Until Trump bans TikTok. All right, so on this episode, okay, so on the last episode, we discussed Batman Begins as the first entry to the Christopher Nolan Batman trilogy. So on this episode now, we are going to discuss The Dark Knight. The Dark Knight, the synopsis reads, when the menace known as the Joker wreaks havoc and chaos on the people of Gotham, Batman must accept one of the greatest psychological and physical tests of his ability to fight injustice, according to IMDb. All right, what are your thoughts, Jason?
I thought that's a good synopsis for it, because I think this one was... Batman Begins was more of a character piece about Bruce Wayne becoming Batman.
Yeah.
This one was very much more... When this came out, I called it... I remember when the award season was coming, I was like, it's not even like a comic book movie. It's just a really good movie. Yeah. But watching it this time, it definitely felt more like a comic book movie than Batman Begins did. Like, it's got the goofiness of the Joker's crew and all that, and it just felt more pulpy to me. So that's a fitting synopsis for this movie.
Oh, yeah, I agree. What do you think, Chris?
I think that's kind of an understatement. Like, the Joker is extremely intelligent. So the way he just kind of does stuff, and then we'll break that down, the things he does as we progress.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the Joker honestly is the best part of this movie, hands down. And this is a good movie. And I'm not downplaying anybody else in this movie. Acting is phenomenal in this movie. The storytelling is great. I love the visual effects. Just the opening in this movie alone is just fucking awesome. The way the camera just pans towards the bank that the Joker and his crew are getting to, you know, getting ready to rob and everything. It's just a great shot. And then, you know, it shows them, you know, robbing the bank, and then some of the crew turning on each other and everything. And then Joker being behind the mask of one of them. And you didn't even, the first time I watched it, I didn't know one of those guys was the Joker. I mean, I kind of had a feeling, because like you kind of just shows a guy with, you know, holding his mask as a van pulls up, you know, to pick him up and stuff. I kind of had a feeling it was him, but I didn't really know. And you really don't really. It's the reveal when he finally takes off his mask. You know,
that was one of my favorite parts in the entire movie, because they all had to kill the other person when their job was done. Like, yeah. Okay, so did you get through? Yeah. Pop. Did you do this? Yeah. Pop. And then the guy that ended up being the Joker was like, I bet you were told to kill me too. And then he's just like, now I kill the bus driver. And I was just like, dude, that is awesome. And then, yeah.
Yeah. It's an awesome opening.
Yeah. I love it.
What did you think of the opening, Chris?
Oh, I thought it was excellent, because it just kind of left you going, you were kind of puzzled. Of what was going on. You're like, who are the, you know, they're like, you thought they were just all the Joker's henchmen. And yeah. Then you get, and then they're robbing, they're not robbing just a normal bank. They're robbing the mob's bank. Yeah. They're robbing from the bad guys, because he's trying to get their attention. And that's when you get that first real unveil of you finally get to see Heath Ledger in full Joker attire with the face. And it was like the first time you really get to see his face in the movie.
Yeah.
And you're like, holy shit, if that's how this is going to be, then this is just the opening. This movie's going to be just excellent, because that first scene was mind-blowing.
Yeah, I agree. This is probably my favorite opening. Yeah. One of my most favorite openings of any movie of all time, for sure.
I remember when I think it might have been a Harry Potter movie. Some movie went to theaters at the same time, a year before The Dark Knight came out in theaters. And they re-released Batman Begins on Blu-ray with that opening on the Blu-ray, and it was in theaters with whatever movie that came out at the time. And I saw that a year before this came out.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, when he takes off his mask, and then he jumps on the bus, and he drives off, and then the scene ends. And then you have to wait. And then I had to wait a year to see the full movie. That's how they built this movie up.
Yeah.
They put that scene in IMAX, and it was beautiful, and it was just... It sucked. The whole year waiting to see this movie after that moment, it was a long year. I'll say that much.
Oh, yeah, I remember. When this came out, getting a ticket to see this was extremely hard.
Yeah, I remember.
So we just talked about the Joker. He was played by Heath Ledger, does an awesome job. And then also we have Aaron Eckhart, who plays Harvey Dent.
When it first came out, I really liked his portrayal as Harvey Dent. Seeing it this time, I think Harvey Dent was, knowing what happened to Heath Ledger, R.I.P., in the years that followed, I feel like Harvey Dent was underutilized and he could have been used more in the third movie. Knowing if, like, his role should have been changed once Heath Ledger died. Like, they should have done some reshoots or something. He should have had more of a role in the third movie. And as we're not doing future spoilers, but let's just say Harvey Dent doesn't get the justice that he deserved in the future.
Right.
And that's a big misstep. But, I mean, he did fine in the role. He just wasn't, I don't know, seeing it 12 years after it came out definitely changed my opinion on that.
Right. What are your thoughts on that, Chris?
I thought he did a fantastic job. And I remember seeing this in the theaters. Like you said, this was a hard ticket to get. I mean, I wouldn't seen it. And it was a packed house, like, on a Monday night.
Yeah.
Which is unusual for a movie. This was breaking all kinds of records for comic book movies and just movies in general. And but Harvey Dent, I didn't know that Harvey Dent was Two-Face because I just wasn't that familiar with the Batman villains besides the big ones, you know, the Joker and Penguin and Riddler and that. And but I thought his portrayal was great. They had to kill him off to make Batman all of a sudden the bad guy.
Yeah.
At the very end, they needed that. It would have been great if they could have wrote it somehow differently, that he would have came back for the third movie, especially after, you know, you didn't know that Heath Ledger was going to do what he did.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, nobody did. And that's and honestly, that is probably the biggest disappointments, because it's like, Heath Ledger was so great in this movie, and he was a phenomenal actor. But he pretty much carried this movie, and I'm not saying anything bad about anybody else in this movie, but like, he stole every scene he was in.
Yeah, I agree. It's a shame that he passed away, and I know Christopher Nolan was going to use him heavily.
Yeah,
in the third movie. And it's comparable to when Carrie Fisher died in Star Wars.
Yeah.
And the way they used Carrie Fisher in The Last Jedi compared to how they had planned to use her in Rise of Skywalker, and to what happened with that. Like, it's almost, they almost mirror each other, because I understand Harvey Dent had to die because of, what's the word I'm looking for? Because of the whole Dark Knight versus White Knight thing. I know I know that had to happen. But it's just a shame that Heath Ledger died in general. Not to mention, who knows what the third movie would have been with him.
Right, yeah, I would say, yeah. It sucks that he died in general. But then, I mean, one of my favorite Joker scenes in this is when they're at the... What is it? When all of the crime lords, they're all in that meeting and they're trying to discuss or trying to determine what to do with Batman, or trying to figure out what their problem is. And he kind of just walks in and interrupts. And then he does that pin trick.
Yeah, where he's like, ooh, it's gone.
Yeah. Yeah, that was actually really cool camera editing. I mean, that was pretty cool. That what did you think about that, Chris?
That was something like we've never seen in a movie before. You know, it was so violent. It just showed you like how nuts he was, but he wasn't really nuts. He was smart,
right?
And the fact that he showed like how crazy he was, like, hey, when they went to attack him and he opened his vest up, it was full of grenades with a pin attached to it. And he's just like, you know, if I go, we all go.
Yeah.
That whole scene, I mean, there's so many scenes in this movie with him, but that, you know, that one, they all kind of stand out on their own. That one was a fantastic scene, though.
Right.
This movie made me, we live in 2020 and we've seen the Joker, the character Joker, two actors win the Oscar for playing him. And so watching this and then knowing how what happened in the Joker movie, like, Heath Ledger played such a better Joker. Like, Joaquin Phoenix in the Joker was great, but Joaquin Phoenix played a mentally unstable person and very depressing situation, and that movie was uncomfortable for me to watch.
Yeah.
Heath Ledger in this is just batshit crazy. Yeah. He's just like, I can't say that he's a sick individual. He's just really smart. And in a way he's sick because he's able to do these deranged things, but he's, I don't know how to say it. He's just really smart,
right?
Maybe too smart. And that's what's causing him to lash out. And he lives in a city like Gotham, which is bad in its own. And so that creates criminals. And with Batman being around, of course, that's creating villains.
Yeah.
And I think Heath Ledger was such a better Joker than Joaquin Phoenix was. Even though Joaquin Phoenix was great in his movie, Heath Ledger definitely blew my mind away.
Yeah. I mean, so we're talking about the Joker, and he was he was just a fucking pain in the ass in this fucking movie for everybody involved. I mean, it seems like every time they had him, like, every time they had him captured or they had him figured out, he always had a backup plan that nobody, even people watching the movie, that nobody was ready for. Just like kind of Chris said, there was just so many, like, twists and turns in this freaking movie.
Yeah, like the guy in the jail cell that kept complaining about his stomach, you know, that was a plan.
Yeah.
He knew it, too. I hated that scene because that scene does a lot of things that I hate in movies, where aesthetically it looks amazing. They have that cell in the middle of the room, which I don't know much about police departments because I've never been in jail.
Yeah.
I feel that's not true to real life. Like, I feel like that's set up like that to look cool for the film.
Yeah.
So it kind of hooks me with that. But yeah, that scene was awesome. Like, I don't know, everything that he was in this movie, there's not a bad scene. When he was on camera, he was the star 100%.
Yeah, it seems like they set up that shot so purposely to get him in his cell clapping, which is a good shot.
Oh yeah, it's like the Harley Quinn movie. They had the cell scene in that too. Like, right. They do it in these Batman movies for some reason.
Yeah.
Like you guys were talking about, he would intentionally get himself caught.
Yeah.
He was always, when they were like, we finally caught him and we're finally up to speed with what he's got going on, he was always two steps ahead of whatever. You know, this was methodically planned out step by step by step what he wanted and how he was going to do it.
It was like Jason just said, it was like a chess game for him. Watching this, like, everything that happened, I did not, like, honestly, it wasn't until the second time I watched this, and until I picked up on that he switched the addresses when he told Batman where the locations of Harvey Dent and Rachel Dawes. Did you guys catch that on the first time, or did it take a couple times to you guys too?
Oh, no, I caught it the first time.
Oh, did you?
Batman said, he's like, I'm going after Rachel. He didn't say, he told them, he's like, these are the addresses. He didn't tell them exactly which one was at which.
Yeah, that's true. I think I guess he the Joker just kind of assumed that Batman was going to go after the one that he said with, when he said Rachel Dawes' name. But yeah, you're right. He didn't. He never really said that. Oh, you know, this person, Rachel Dawes, is at this address, and that, you know, Harvey Dent is at the other one. He never really actually said that. So that kind of, that confused me.
I feel like if he had known, I feel like Batman would have saved Harvey Dent, because what Harvey Dent meant to the community, like
Yeah.
I mean, his feelings toward Rachel were one thing, and my feelings toward her getting recast are another. But I think he would have went after Harvey Dent regardless, because if Harvey Dent would have died, then Gotham would have just gotten even worse. Like they said, Harvey Dent was the White Knight.
Right. And, yeah. Well, see, the thing that really that just fucked everything up is Harvey Dent just basically turning into Two-Face, because once he started, you know, doing evil shit, you know, he's supposed, like you said, he's supposed to be the, quote, White Knight. And then you got, you know, he's supposed to be the shining example, the savior of Gotham City that's going to, you know, that's going to lock up all the bad guys and stuff. When you got him himself going around and, you know, flipping a coin and killing people, that kind of, that ruins his image. And then that kind of pretty much takes us to the ending of this movie. What are your thoughts on that, Chris?
Well, before that even happened, Batman caught him. He when they assassinated, or they thought they had killed off soon to be Commissioner Gordon, he caught Harvey with one of the Joker's henchmen, and he's just like, Harvey was kind of losing it at that point when he had the gun out and he was threatening him, and Batman's just like, look, dude, you do not want to do this.
Yeah.
Like, you need to get your shit together, because we need you to be Harvey Dent. We need you to be the White Knight. And
right.
I'll do the bad job.
Yeah.
I'll be the bad cop, you be the good cop.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, that was and then yeah, so the Joker just fucking he created all kinds of havoc. I mean, and he was just really relentless in it. Like, he did not let up. One of the coolest scenes in the movie that I liked was, you know, when the Joker is trying to take out or trying to kill Harvey Dent, and then you know, they're going down the underpass, and he has the rocket launcher and he's trying to fire it at the armored car that Harvey Dent is in. That was pretty freaking cool.
Yeah, I don't like car chase scenes or anything like that, but that. I don't know, what was it, 20 minutes, and not even 20 minutes, maybe 15 minutes, where it was just nonstop once they go under the underpass, and, you know, all the way to the part where the truck flips and the Joker's standing in the street, which, by the way, if you look on the shop window right by Joker in that scene, you can see something along the lines of Chicago Sweet Treats.
Oh.
Like, there's a few scenes in this movie where you can see that there's, like, Chicago things in the background. But yeah, up until that scene where, you know, Batman gets knocked out and then Commissioner Gordon points the gun at Joker and blah, blah, blah. Like, that is probably my favorite scene in movies in general. That 15-minute stretch for the last 15 years.
Yeah.
Maybe the ending to The Departed is better to me. That's about it.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. So, okay, so we just pretty much, you know, gave a good breakdown of the movie. Do we want to get into the fun facts?
Ready when you are.
Okay, so fun facts. We want to say thank you to UpRocks and KickAssFacts.com for providing some of the facts for this episode. So the first one we got, this movie, as we all know, is directed by Christopher Nolan, who also directed The Prestige, Inception, and the movie getting ready to come out in a couple of weeks called Tenet. This movie had a budget of $180 million and a box office of $1.005 billion. Compared to Batman Begins, Paltry, $150 million, and a box office of $373.4 million. That's a lot of money.
So they filmed it for $30 million more, but it tripled the box office.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I would say that's a pretty good investment.
Yeah, it was great.
One of the things I think we're leaving out with Christopher Nolan is he also did Dunkirk, and Dunkirk was nominated for a ton of Academy Awards.
Oh yeah, it was. I have not seen Dunkirk. I've been wanting to see it. I haven't seen it yet.
It was okay.
It was okay.
It was okay. It was kind of long and kind of boring.
Yeah, I think Jason, didn't you say you saw it in theaters and you? Yeah.
I fell asleep in it, which is one of the reasons I don't bring it up on here. It's a good movie. There's a reason why it was up for a bunch of Academy Awards, but it was also up for a bunch of Academy Awards because it takes place in wartime, and that's Oscar bait right there. So, I mean, it's great. It's just not one of my favorites.
Okay, all right. So the next fun fact, we have the first comic book movie to hit the 1 billion mark at the box office. And yeah, I remember, and Chris, I think you kind of went over this already. When this came out, this was, at the time, I remember hearing that, like, for a superhero movie, no other superhero movie had reached that mark up to this point.
No, not at all. And nowadays, it seems like all of them hit that mark.
Yeah.
At least all the Marvel ones do, and, you know, Endgame, which I don't know, if we're never going to see another Endgame, because in a post-coronavirus world, I don't think theaters are going to be... I mean, maybe if they got the Endgame cast together again somehow, maybe in that situation we might see another $100 million comic book movie. But I just, with the world we live in now and movies are going to be split between theaters and on-demand, I don't know if we're ever going to see that again, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be really hard. I mean, how can you do better than Endgame? But we'll save that for when we do the MCU. All right. So what are you going to say, Chris?
Oh, I was going to say never say never. You never know what's going to happen in 8 months, a year from now.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Okay.
You get a vaccine and everybody gets unafraid to go out and go back to, you know, we have had pandemics in the past where a lot of people have died and we got back to normal and surpassed what, you know, the past. So,
yeah,
I could see it happening, but it's not going to happen anytime soon.
Right. Yeah, I agree with you there. So this was filmed in Chicago for 13 weeks. If you pay close attention to certain outdoor scenes, you might even catch the word Chicago in places. You just said that, right, Jason?
Yeah, I mentioned it.
All right. So, okay. So the next one, we got, while filming in Chicago, the film was given the false title Rory's First Kiss to lower the visibility of production.
I don't know how you do that when you have, you know, Christian Bale walking around in the bat suit and the Batmobile on site. People are going to realize what it really is.
Oh, yeah. I remember when this was filming in Chicago. There were people who live in Southern Illinois who were talking about driving up and just to see if they could be an extra in the background. I remember there was people around our area talking about doing that. I remember it was on. I remember talking to several people at the time. At the time, I think we had Facebook, that we also had MySpace at the time too, which is so weird to say. But yeah, I do remember that though. You got something, Chris?
No, I remember a lot of my friends. I had some friends that were so obsessed with like the Heath Ledger as the Joker, just the Joker in general being in this, that they did. They won the few of them I knew that went up there to try to be just catch a glimpse of it.
Yeah. I mean, I remember it was a pretty big deal. For sure, especially the people that live in Chicago. I mean, it's Batman. Anytime they make a Batman movie anywhere, that's pretty big news. So, okay, so moving on. This said filming was also done in London and Tokyo.
Yeah, London was used for some of the alley shots or some of the shots with the Batmobile. And they also filmed some of the indoor locations in London. A lot of the sets, I think all the sets were filmed in London. But all the stuff that needed to be in Chicago were filmed in Chicago.
Yeah, so. That makes sense. I remember it was that one really cool scene in this movie, I think, is in Tokyo, is when he has to go capture one of the guys that he tried to fled to Tokyo, or he tried to get away. And then, you know, they were just like, you know, the cops have jurisdiction, but Batman doesn't. You know, but Batman will go get him and bring him back, and he will squeal. Like, Joker predicted all of that.
Yep. It was a good scene. And, I mean, Tokyo, obviously, they had to film there. I think I read that some of the shots had to be like CGI. They tried to do it the right way. But it just wasn't, with the weather and whatnot, that just wasn't cooperating that day. So they just decided they're losing too much money. They're losing too much time. And so they ended up doing some CGI.
Yeah. Wasn't that the first scene where Batman was able to turn his head? Because remember, in Batman Begins and a lot of the other Batmans, Batman has never really been able to turn his head. He's always had, or move his neck. You know what I'm saying? Like, he was always, they did something to the neck of the costume to be able to turn his head. And then that's, the first scene that I noticed it in. Yeah. And I think
they put that into the story of the movie, too.
Yeah, so they did. It
makes sense.
Right, yeah. Because there's a line that Bruce Wayne says. He's like, I would like to be able to move my head. Or something. I can't remember the line, but it was a really funny line. Do you remember that, Chris?
Yeah, I do. And it was. The Tokyo scene, it was really cool to see that Operation Skyhook.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Bring back to what Jason talked about in the last Batman movie we covered. That was actually a real thing. That was a real thing used by the military.
That's pretty cool.
I don't think they actually ever used it, or they probably attempt to use it. It was, you know, something. I remember watching something on Discovery Channel about it, and it is a legit real thing.
Oh, wow.
Ben, you're going to hate me for this next fact.
Okay, all right. So, the next fact. In the film, Bruce Wayne drives a Lamborghini Murcielago, which is Spanish for bat. The car costs around $400,000, which is Spanish for a lot more than you can afford.
Yeah, I thought that was a funny. The quote that I got this from, obviously they threw in some of their opinions with it.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty funny. But, I mean, that car is awesome, and I like that it's Spanish for bat.
Yeah, that is, I mean, 400, that's a lot of money. Yeah, that Lamborghini, he wrecks that thing, doesn't he? Yeah, because he has to stop from the guy from getting killed or whatever, and he has to, completely get in the way of a truck that tries to ram the cop car.
Yeah, Reese, man, I wish when this movie came out and they were talking about the third one, they were talking about how Coleman Reese could potentially become the Joker because the name, and it's a fun fact. I'll just read the fun fact. It's the last fun fact on the list. The character of Coleman Reese, who attempts to reveal the identity of Batman in the film, is an allusion to the Riddler, much like Enigma sounds like Enigma. Mr. Reese sounds like Mysteries.
Oh, shit.
So there was talk that he might end up being the Riddler. And if there were ever any character in this movie that could have been the Riddler, that guy sure definitely looked like him.
Yeah, he did.
Like, I would have liked it.
Yeah, I think that would have been clever, too, with the name. Mr. Reese. That's pretty cool.
Oh, no. I would have loved to actually seen them use the Riddler. I mean, it's a character we kind of know already.
Right.
Going back to Adam West, Batman TV show.
Yeah.
He's definitely a lot, in my opinion, I think he's a lot better. I don't want to go too much into the next movie. Yeah, I think he's a way better villain than than Bane is.
Yeah. I mean, as far as matching, because part of Batman, part of what makes him so freaking awesome, apart from him being rich and being really good at martial arts, is he's just really fucking smart. I mean, he's goes by the world's greatest detective for a reason. So it'd be kind of cool to pair him up with a villain that is equally as smart as him. Now, Joker was pretty smart too. It's pretty smart. So, I mean, but then, you know, you can't use Joker anymore. So it would be the next best villain from the Joker. In my opinion, I think it's the Riddler.
But I can see why they didn't use him. While he would have been a great villain, it would have been too much like the Joker.
Yeah.
I could see I could see why he wasn't. I think he should have been in it. I think he should have been like a cameo or something. Mm-hmm. But it is what it is.
Yeah, I did see somewhere. I'm on a ton of fan groups on Facebook, and I always see Jim Carrey's name pop up as a potential candidate for the next Joker. And I'm just like, I mean, he already played the Riddler in Batman Forever, which when he played that Riddler, it was pretty damn close to the Joker. I mean, I guess both characters, I mean, they're kind of similar, like you kind of just said, Jason, anyways, or whatever. But I don't know. I get upset when I hear people bring up, like, I don't like it when, with the exception of Chris Evans, because I know he was a superhero, you know, he played, was it Torch in the Silver Surfer, Fantastic Four?
Yeah.
Yeah, he played twice.
Yeah, I hate when you got Ryan Reynolds, he played Green Lantern, and now he's Deadpool or whatever. I guess that worked out for him. But
what about Tom Hardy?
Oh, yeah, and Tom Hardy. Yeah, Tom.
He's Bane.
Yeah, he's Bane. Who else did, what other hero did he play?
He's also Venom.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. I totally forgot.
Ryan Reynolds, not only did he play Deadpool, but he played, like, the original Deadpool from the Wolverine origin movie, too.
Yeah, oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, so, I mean, okay, so I stand corrected. It does work out for some actors. I mean, it worked out for Chris Evans, Tom Hardy, and whatever. But I'm just not a fan when they try to bring back an actor who already played a villain or a superhero, and then they try to put him into another role, especially when it's in the same franchise, like Batman, you know what I'm saying? So I'm glad they didn't do that.
So let me ask you guys this. If they made they're making the Batman, who would you cast as Joker for the next Batman movie? Ooh. Like, because we know it's separate from the Joaquin Phoenix stuff.
Right.
So oh, who man. Would you cast as Joker?
See, I've heard rumblings of, you know, Jim Carrey, and then I've also heard rumblings of Johnny Depp. I'm not a fan of either one of them. I don't know. What do you got, Chris?
Honestly, I think Johnny Depp would be a better choice than Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw one out that you guys might not even be aware of, but have either of you guys watched Hamilton yet?
No,
I have not.
There's an actor in Hamilton, David Diggs. And once you watch Hamilton, you'll understand why I'm saying this. He would be an amazing Joker.
Okay.
Like, it's going to be hard to understand until you watch that. But the way he moves around, and this guy can be creepy if he has to be, like, he would make an amazing Joker. And I'm going to stand by that until he gets cast as the Joker someday.
Okay, yeah, I mean, I think Johnny Depp is too well known. People see him as Captain Sparrow, and, you know, they just see him as too many other characters. I think bringing him on as the Joker is just too much, but I do like him as an option better than I like Jim Carrey. With all due respect to Jim Carrey, I think Jim Carrey's just, he's kind of getting on the older side, too, of things. And one, I don't even think Jim Carrey would even do it because he tends to be anti-violence. But, yeah, I don't know. I'll have to check out the actor you're talking about, though, from Hamilton. What'd you say his name was again?
David Diggs. Like
David? David?
Like David, except for two E's instead of an I.
Got it.
He's been in a few other things. He's in the Snowpiercer TV show that's running right now.
All right.
He's fantastic.
I would have to say if I... okay. Because I didn't get to answer who I would think would be good for casting besides the two you mentioned. I think Michael Fassbender would be a very good Joker. He's just a good actor.
Oh yeah, yeah, that would be good. I do like him. I do think he would be a great option.
If you go back and look, I mean, even when we all heard Heath Ledger was going to be casted as the Joker, I don't think I know anybody that was like, oh, that's a great choice.
When
Joaquin Phoenix was casted, we were all like, okay, I get it. Joaquin Phoenix is a good actor. When we got Jared Leto's character, I think I remember like two people that were like, I love Jared Leto, but pretty much the rest of us were like, no. And then we seen him and then we were even more no.
Yeah.
Another actor I would throw in. Okay, I'd also throw in Bill Skarsgård, who played Pennywise, and I would actually also throw in Bill Hader.
Oh, that's a good choice.
Oh yeah,
I think Bill Hader would make a better Riddler, though.
Ooh, yeah, I can see that. I can see either one. I remember back when The Dark Knight Rises was rumored that they were. It was always rumored that DiCaprio could be casted to play a villain. They never really said what villain he would play. I think everyone assumed that it would be the Riddler. But I think DiCaprio, great actor, I think he would nail anything. I would never cast him as the Joker, though. I think he'd be good for the Riddler. Now, if the only suggestion I would have for the Joker, and it would have to be a Batman Beyond Joker, where Bruce Wayne is much older, and so Joker is much older, I would put William Dafoe as an older Joker. I think he would nail that.
You know who I would like to see as an older Joker?
Who's that?
Mark Hamill.
Oh.
As the voice.
Yeah. I mean, he's already got the voice for it. I mean, it's pretty legendary.
That casting announcement would break the internet.
Yeah, you're right.
Imagine that Mark Hamill, though, is like an older Bruce Wayne. If you did like Darkwing or whatever, and you brought back, you almost did like a Killing Joke movie, but cast Mark Hamill as the Joker. I mean, he did the voice for how long, you know? I think
it'd
be perfect.
Yeah, that would be perfect. I think with some makeup, change his hair around or whatever, I think they could do it. I don't see why not. Okay, are we ready for the next fun fact?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. During the scene where the Joker crashes the party in Bruce Wayne's penthouse, an older gentleman briefly stands up to him, saying, "We're not intimidated by thugs." The Joker then grabs a hold of him and sticks a knife in his mouth. Well, it turns out that man was Senator Patrick Leahy, who has represented the state of Vermont in the Senate for more than 30 years. Leahy is a huge Batman fan, and he actually appeared in several Batman TV shows and movies, most recently in Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Justice. You might have to talk about this one, Jason.
I just thought that was a really fun fact. I didn't know about that. It's really fun that they actually found like somebody as high up as a United States Senator.
Right.
And threw him in the movie, and that he had like a key point. Like, that's the part where the Joker's like, "You know how I got these scars?" That's a big part in the movie, and the fact that he's little, like, I don't know who he is.
No, but yeah.
That's kind of fascinating that they did that.
Right, and it's crazy how he has so many cameos in different Batman movies. Like, in Dawn of Justice, I'm trying to think of his character and that, but...
I mean, with all the courtroom scenes and, like, there's senators in that movie and stuff, he could have been one of the senators. Who knows who he was in it?
Right.
I think it's... I mean, he could be buying his way into these movies, too. Who knows?
But,
I still think it's cool that he's in it.
Yeah. Do you know anything about this, Chris?
Actually, no. That's the first time I've heard about that. That's pretty neat.
Yeah, that is pretty cool. Okay, so in the next we got... Though The Dark Knight is its own unique story, it drew inspiration from several different Batman comics. Specifically, much of the Joker's characterization was taken from the 1988 graphic novel The Killing Joke, which provided the villain's origin. Harvey Dent's descent into madness also came from the comics, this time from a series called The Long Halloween. The Long Halloween is reportedly what the upcoming Robert Pattinson starring the Batman is going to be based on.
I just thought that was another cool thing. Like, you know, it's going to be based on a storyline of some sort. But it's kind of, I kind of wish they would have just done The Long Halloween, which they're doing now.
Yeah.
But now that they're actually doing The Long Halloween, how similar is it going to be to this?
Yeah.
But I don't think they've announced anybody playing Harvey Dent in the Batman. So maybe it's not going to be following that to a T. I don't know. I haven't read The Long Halloween. Chris, have you?
No, I have not.
No? I haven't watched it either. From what I'm hearing, though, that there's going to be multiple villains in the upcoming Batman movie. And I'm pretty sure they've kept a lot of it under wraps. So there's a lot of stuff casting choices I don't think that we really know about yet. I could be wrong about that. As far as I don't even know who the main... Did they ever cast Penguin?
Yeah, it's Colin Farrell.
Colin Farrell, that's right. We talked about that before. That is a interesting choice. What do you think about that casting?
Oh, the casting as a whole, I think, is excellent that I've seen so far. You can say whatever you want about Robert Pattinson. He's a good actor.
Right.
And the pictures I've seen of him so far, he looks amazing as Batman. And Colin Farrell is a really good actor as well. So yeah. I'm not let down by their decision. It's got to be hard to be a casting director sometimes to get these guys just right, you know.
Right. Yeah. I'm interested to see how Colin Farrell plays the Penguin. What are your thoughts on that, Jason?
I'm interested in seeing him play the Penguin. I still wish it would have been the one that they casted to play Alfred. Andy Serkis. Why can't I think of that? Yeah. So Andy Serkis is playing Alfred. I think Andy Serkis, while he's going to play a good Alfred, he's old enough.
Yeah.
I think he would have made an amazing Penguin.
Yeah, like, I think so too.
I think he would have been a better Penguin than Colin Farrell. I could be wrong, but that's a missed opportunity.
He plays a good bad guy regardless. I mean, you look at his work. You know, I thought he was excellent in the Black Panther movie. I was kind of pissed off they killed him off because he was so good.
Yeah,
I forgot that. Yeah, he is in the Black Panther movie. That's right. Wow. So, are we ready for the next fun fact? Okay, so when Christopher Nolan was casting Batman Begins, he was in talks with Ledger to get him to play the role of Bruce Wayne, and therefore Batman. Maybe Ledger had a thing against superheroes because he once turned down the chance to play Spider-Man, and he turned this part down too. But when Ledger saw the final product, he immediately regretted it and chased down Nolan to sign on for the part of the Joker in The Dark Knight.
When I looked these facts up, I didn't know that he was up for Spider-Man or Batman.
Yeah, me neither.
He's in the light. He was in the right age group for that, so I'm not surprised. But I kind of wish we would have saw him as Spider-Man. I think he could have been a little bit better. Tobey Maguire was a great Spider-Man. But imagining Heath Ledger as Spider-Man,
yeah,
we would have never had him as the Joker.
No.
And we probably wouldn't have had him as the Joker.
Yeah.
But still...
Yeah, if he was casted as Batman, we for sure wouldn't have had him as a Joker. I'm kind of glad that worked out the way it did. I mean, I think he probably would have been a great Batman. He's a great actor, but, I mean, he was a phenomenal Joker.
I mean, it all played out the way it did. It was great that it did. Yeah. I don't know if I could see him as a Spider-Man, though. The only one I really didn't like was Andrew Garfield. I didn't like the way they did those, though, either, so...
Yeah, the Amazing Spider-Mans. I wasn't a fan of those either. Those were, to me, I thought those were kind of boring. But that's just me.
Maybe one day we'll do those.
Maybe. Okay, all right. So, you got something, Jason?
I said I have ideas for those.
Okay, all right. So, most people probably think of The Dark Knight as a movie about Batman and the Joker. But according to Christopher Nolan himself, the movie is mainly about another character, Harvey Dent. The film was really about the rise of Two-Face, and Dent's descent gave the film the emotional weight that the unsympathetic Joker could not provide. Nolan acknowledged that the title was not only a reference to Batman, but to the fallen White Knight that was Harvey Dent.
I agree with that. You could see that at the end when he's talking about why Harvey Dent had... not only had to die, but why Batman has to be seen as the villain.
Right.
I agree with all that.
The scene that really stuck out with me was in the hospital when the Joker shows up. And you just get that shot of the nurse from behind, and then they pan around, and it's actually the Joker. And he starts talking to him, and Harvey's so mad about what he had done. And he just kind of gives him that little... he starts filling his head up a little more and a little more of like, look, I was at jail. I didn't do that. You know?
Yeah.
I didn't kill your girlfriend. I didn't rig those bombs. He gave him that final little push. And if we didn't have that Harvey Dent character in it, it wouldn't have been as fulfilling of a movie as it was.
No. Yeah, I agree. That was a big part of the whole ending. I mean, that was, Yeah, I definitely agree. I think rewatching this movie, I definitely agree that this movie was more so about Harvey Dent, but it was just the Joker kind of fucking making everything just go to shit. And I mean, and it played out very well.
And I don't, you know, the Joker, other than bringing the chaos to the movie, the Joker really, he was just there to be crazy.
Yeah.
Like, there was no character development for him. Maybe a little bit, maybe a little bit when he's being interrogated in the cell.
Yeah.
But he was just there to give long soliloquies about why he is a deranged lunatic and then exit the stage for some other action to happen. And then he'd come back and do it again. That was
right.
It.
Yeah.
It wasn't about him. He was just there.
Right. Yeah. And I really liked the. It always seemed like Bruce Wayne and Harvey Dent. You could just kind of tell that, I guess, like, Bruce Wayne was a fan of what Harvey Dent stood for. Like, he liked his politics. He kind of liked everything that he was trying to do, trying to help Gotham City. But there was the whole, you know, Rachel, because obviously they both had a thing for Rachel. And it was kind of a really weird love triangle at the same time. Too.
Yeah, can we talk about her recasting for a second?
Yeah.
I like Maggie Gyllenhaal. I mean, she's a good actress.
Yeah.
I think she the character was too different than Katie Holmes' character.
Yeah.
Like, they kind of looked similar, which was great, but Katie Holmes was more reserved and more the friend, and then Maggie Gyllenhaal comes in, and she's like, the flirty Rachel, like she was too it was too jarring after just seeing Batman Begins last week to see this character change so much, which I get it, new actress, she's going to play it in her own way. She's not playing Katie Holmes as Rachel.
Right.
But it's still, I didn't like her as Rachel, not going to lie.
Yeah. Did they ever say, or has it ever, does anyone know why they recasted that part?
Katie Holmes left the project. That's when she was dealing with Tom Cruise and his Scientology stuff. So who knows why she left the project. She just left. She didn't
want Great. So that's who we really have to thank for that, is Tom Cruise.
She just kind of disappeared from acting at that time.
Yeah.
She wasn't in anything. I like Maggie Gyllenhaal's portrayal of Rachel Dawes. She was a much stronger woman.
Yeah.
I thought she was more believable too.
Yeah,
she was an attorney than Katie Holmes' portrayal of her. But you know, that's just my opinion.
Right. Yeah. I liked it. Obviously, I would have preferred that Katie Holmes reprised the role because I am a fan of continuity. I hate it when there's an actor in one movie and then they completely change the actor for the same part in the following movie. I've always hated that, but sometimes casting directors, sometimes they just got to do things like that. Like, you know, when one actor has to leave a part, there's only so much they can do. At least they found someone that somewhat looks like her. Not exactly the same, but yeah. I mean, they could have went with a worse choice than Maggie Gyllenhaal for sure.
Yeah, she looks similar enough to make it believable. It's not like a Terrence Howard replaced by Don Cheadle situation.
Oh,
that is a horrible recasting. Two great actors, horrible recasting, and we'll get into that when we do Iron Man. But yeah. At least she looked similar enough to make it believable. It's just her portrayal was too different from my liking. And that's not to say that it wasn't good. It's just
right.
It was too different for me.
Yeah. And then maybe it was like, you know, well, I guess they were thinking they were going to kill her part off anyways. So I guess they didn't really, I guess bringing back Katie Holmes or whoever, I guess they didn't really, it didn't really seem that important, knowing that her character wasn't going to go forward anymore in the series. So maybe that probably had a big, you know, a lot to do with it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But, okay, all right. So going forward, now, next fun fact. To prepare for his role as the Joker, Heath Ledger sequestered himself in a hotel room for 6 weeks, developing the character's various tics and sadistic laugh. He based the Joker's appearance on the chaos of Sid Vicious with the psychosis of Alex DeLarge from A Clockwork Orange.
I can see that. He, at least he based it off of something like a, at least he based it off a callback to like historical like film. Like Clockwork Orange takes place in what, a mental institution.
Yeah. Like,
I'd rather hear that he based his role off of that than hear that he based it off of somebody he saw on the side of the street.
Yeah.
That works out in my opinion.
Yeah.
He took the character to the point where, if I could recall right, he actually did his own makeup because he didn't want like this production. He wanted to do it himself to make it look just like nuts.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that makes sense. Because the makeup does not look good on him. I mean, it looks good from like him trying to be the Joker from a costume standpoint, but like just overall though, like it does not look good.
No, because like at times it's like you could tell it was like he was sweating it off. You could actually in certain scenes you could see the makeup still on his hand.
Yeah, I definitely see that. Yeah, but I think that was. That was pretty cool, and yet there are some parts where you can kind of see where the makeup is like not even on his face all the way, or he left some spots on his face completely untouched. All right, so last fun fact we got: when they filmed a chase scene on Lake Street, the Chicago PD received several 911 calls from citizens stating that the police were in pursuit of a dark vehicle of unknown make or model.
I thought that was funny. I thought that was an actual fun fact. That's why it's on here.
There was, the only fun fact I have is the hospital they blew up was actually, it just so happened that it was being demolished at the time. So they were allowed to use that. So it wasn't like they just blew up a whole random building or had to CGI something. They actually had a hospital they could use at the time. So that like, added a lot more to the development of the story, and it looked so much more real.
Gotta give it to Christopher Nolan. He does that. Like, in his new movie, Tenet, like, apparently he blew up an actual Airbus. He does whatever he wants to do, and it works. It makes the movie better.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I thought that, you know, chase scene was pretty cool. I think that's pretty funny, though, that people were calling and actually, I guess they were actually concerned that police were actually chasing a real car.
Well, I mean, you gotta think, if you see a car chase going down the street, it's probably gonna go so fast that you can't see the what it looks like. Because I saw a comment saying, "Well, wouldn't people realize that that's not a normal car you'd see on the street? That is the Batmobile." But right. If it's going that fast, you're probably not gonna see that fine detail.
No. Yeah.
And it was done in the dark too.
Yeah. So I don't know. That's a pretty cool fun fact. Okay. So are we ready to give our rating or our grade on this movie?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Chris, we'll go ahead and start with you.
This was a really hard one to rate because it was not just you look at it as like as a movie as a whole, it was really good. And the fact that it was a comic book movie too was really good.
Yeah.
This is like a mid. Man, this is like a 9, and I'm trying to take it in with all the other movies I've seen that are absolutely some of my favorites.
Yeah.
This is like a 9.3, 9.4 to me.
Oh, wow.
This is a very good movie. This is like, how could you not recommend this? Yeah. And then when I sat back and I rewatched it today, I'm like, man, I forgot how good this movie really is.
Yeah, I agree. Jason, what's yours?
I'm going to give it an 8. I mean, 10 years ago, I would have given it a 10 out of 10.
But
in the world we live in now, where comic book movies are just on a whole other level at this point, this is a great crime saga. Like, it's a great, it reminds me of Heat a lot.
Yeah.
Which you got a lot of comparisons to Heat when it came out. But there's just so much goofy comic bookness to it. Mm-hmm. And then when I think about Batman Begins last week, I think Batman Begins was better. So I don't know. Other than Heath Ledger's, if take Heath Ledger out of this, and this movie's like a 6 for me. But yeah, I give it like an 8.
Nice. Okay, so okay, for my rate, my rating or grade for this movie. Now the Rotten Tomatoes, they gave this a 94% certified fresh, and it also got an audience score of 94 fresh. Me, I'm gonna give it 100%. I give this movie 10 out of 10. I absolutely love this movie. Everything about it to me is just freaking awesome. Just watching it again today, like Chris said, like to me, it just reminded me of why I loved it so much. Everything from Ledger's Joker is one of the best movie villains of all time. Hands down, I would put him in the same realm as Darth Vader. And also, the rewatchability is crazy. Like, I can watch this movie over and over again, and there just be certain things that I can just pick up that I didn't really pick up the last time, or, you know, it's just entertaining. And then also, the action is kind of a letdown, because you don't really see Batman. You see him fighting people, but the action, the fight scenes, they're just, it's very subpar. But despite that, I still think this movie is very entertaining. I give it a 10 out of 10. Okay. All right. So there we have it. So are we ready to do our weekly recommends?
Sure. Let's go ahead and do them.
Okay. All right. So what do you recommend this week? Okay. I'll go first. Okay. I want to recommend Eric Andre's special, Make Everything Legal. It's a stand-up, a special on Netflix. Just watched it a couple nights ago with my wife. We both laughed really hard. We both really enjoyed it. So if you're a fan of comedy, if you like stand-up specials, check this out. Eric Andre, Make Everything Legal on Netflix.
If Chris isn't ready, I'll go ahead and go. I'm going to recommend Hamilton on Disney Plus. Like, I love Hamilton. I've listened to the soundtrack. I started listening to the soundtrack when I was working late at my old job because I could listen to music. And it was really good because it was 3 hours long. So if I listened to it twice, you know, I'd be almost off work. And then it's not your typical musical. It's a rap, hip-hop opera. And it is historical, and it is amazing. Amazing acting. The things they do on that stage is unexplainable. And I'm not a big musical fan, but I'm definitely all in on Hamilton.
Awesome. Okay. All right. Chris, you got one?
I do have one, actually. It was a little 20-minute video I found on Facebook. It was and this stays with the whole comic book theme. It was a little 20-minute fan-made trailer, and the only actor in it that you would recognize is Eric Roberts, who is actually in this movie. He was one of the crime bosses, was one of the mob bosses. And it's a fan-made trailer for Gambit. And it's got not only Gambit, it's got Rogue, and it's got another Marvel character of Magic that's in it. And it's, like I said, it's like a little 20-minute video. It's pretty cool. If you can find it, I'd recommend that. I mean, awesome. Who doesn't have 20 minutes to watch it?
Right. Yeah, cool. That's true.
Awesome.
Okay, all right. So that wraps up this episode. Hopefully everybody at home enjoyed it. If you want to find me, you can find me on Twitter. I am BennyB278. Jason, how can they get hold of you?
Mr. Movie Dude on Instagram, PlayStation, TikTok, anything you can think of. Make sure you follow us on Real Impossible and all the socials. And yeah, you can find me on either of those.
All right. And Chris, how can they find you?
If you're looking to get a hold of me, you can find me on the Instagram at crappy68. And I'm also on Twitter at capony, which is APPONEY. That's how you spell that. I do another podcast with you, but it's a little too adult themed. I don't know if we want to mention it or not. That's all I got.
We can mention it because we're going to do the crossover.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. We are on the Weagle podcast, which Chris or Jason, I mean, you're going to be on that here pretty soon because we were going to do the crossover for 365 and another movie. What was the other movie you said?
Love. It's on Love. Netflix, but I don't want to recommend that.
Okay. All right. So, yeah. So be on the lookout for that. That's going to be a fun episode. But okay. But until then, hope everybody out there stays safe and see you next time.
I'm Batman.
Later.